Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. Our prayer is that this message will speak to your heart.
This morning, we continue to talk about Jesus. Sometime last year, I decided to look at everything I believe in. And I thank God for all the things I have heard, all the things I have read, but I just decided that I wanted to go on a journey with God and get to know Him. And I'm still on that journey, just trying to know Him more. And I will be very honest with you that the more I am trying to know the Lord, the more I am losing a lot of interest in the things that people think they matter. I desire to know Him more and more and more, and I'm looking at lives of people in the Bible who decided that they are just going to yield completely to the Lord. This morning we are going to read a few scriptures. And because we are talking about Jesus, I wanted to say that one thing I've come to learn is that God is not a historian. Because historians kind of tell us something that happened before, and then they have to tell us, this is what happened. The amazing thing with God is that He doesn't have to wait for something to happen and then tell us what happened. He's God who tells us something well before it happens. In Isaiah 46, verse 8 to 10, which is not really the main scripture that we're going to look at, but we're going to refer to it. He says, remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind all your transgressors. So it's more or less like saying, okay, you think you are a man? Then show up. Then show up. Then he says, remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I know the song we sing, who is like unto thee, O Lord? Among the gods, who is like me? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Hallelujah. And in verse 9 he says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall start, and I will do all my pleasure. Now, if someone else is going to declare the end from the beginning, then it means that person would have to exist before time. Because if he exists after time, then he can't declare the end from the beginning. At least the beginning has to find him. Amen?
Amen.
But also it means he needs to exist after time has ended. Hallelujah. I just want you to think, to just think about God in that way. That for time to begin as time, he had to be there. So before time began, he was there. And then he looks at a point when time ends, and he basically says, I'm going to exist even after time has ended. Man can only predict what the future will be based on the current circumstances. I've heard a lot of stories this past week about, for instance, the lake. And the story I heard, interesting, it wasn't even from the, you call them the geologist. It wasn't from them, it was actually from villagers. So villagers were like, there's nothing here about what is happening in the lake. And they begin to tell you stories about, after this period of time, we know that the lake is going to come. After this period of time, we know that this is going to happen. After this period of time, we know that this is going to happen. There's absolutely nothing new to us. So they can already predict and say, things look like this right now. But you know, after this kind of period of time, the beach is going to become long again and big again and everything else. But we know after this period of time, the lake is going to come back. And I was amazed because these were villagers. They don't even know one single word of English. Maybe apart from, I'm fine. But God declares the end from the beginning. God knows exactly how your life is going to end. You don't. But God knows exactly how it's going to end. How your life is going to end. God knows exactly how your life is going to end. He knows it. You have no clue about it. Hallelujah. So there was a time when he spoke to the children of Israel. And sometimes I think we can fault the children of Israel too much. But sometimes I think it's good to put ourselves in their shoes based on what we're going to look at this morning. So what I'm going to read is something else that he spoke to the children of Israel, but I know it applies to us today. In Isaiah 48, verse 1 to 5. And I'm going to read the Amplified Version of the Bible. Hear this, O house of Jacob, you who are called by the name of Israel. And we need to remember who is Jacob. Hallelujah. Because sometimes when we are reading these things and we read them so quickly, we need to remember the background of Jacob and how he ended up being called Israel. And sometimes when I look at things like this, you can walk with God, but there's no guarantee that your children are going to walk with God. Because they need to know God for themselves. And he continues to say to them, and who come from the seed of Judah? You who swear allegiance by the name of the Lord and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth, but not in sincerity, nor in righteousness, with moral and spiritual integrity. For they call themselves citizens of Jerusalem after the holy city, and depend on the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things which happened to Israel in times past. They went forth from my mouth, and I proclaimed them. Suddenly I acted, and they came to pass. Because I know that you are obstinate and your neck is an iron tendon and your brow is bronze, both unyielding. I've declared them to you long ago before they came to pass. I announced them to you so that you could not say, my idol has done them, and my curved image and my cast image have commanded them. So when I read that, it made me begin to think about several things, and it, because I'm trying so much to study right now about Jesus, I had to begin to say, what is it that God had said long time ago about Jesus? What is it that he announced long time ago about Jesus? And he fulfilled it. And then remember last week I said, we need to look today at why do we call Jesus the Son of God. Before I continue, I would like to say that it's very interesting that people can look at the same event. Something can happen here at church, or something can happen in Malawi, something can happen at where you live. And people, both of them were there when the thing was happening. And they can totally disagree about what happened at the event. Because everyone else is looking at it from their own perspective. And if you see something else that is impossible to happen, chances are very high that other people are going to say it did not happen. Because it is impossible. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 1:37 that with God, nothing is impossible. And I want you to take him at that word, that when he says, with me, nothing is impossible, it means with him, nothing is impossible. Because your mind and my mind faces these hurdles and these challenges, and we face roadblocks and barriers and all these other things, we have come to the point whereby we think some things are possible, some things are impossible, and therefore the impossible ones can happen. That's not true. Because with God, nothing is impossible. And if you believe that he was there before time began, that the beginning could not have begun without him, and that he is going to be there after time has ended, he who started time and he who is going to end time is able to do what is impossible in this day and age. Amen. That you must believe. And when you begin to look at things in that way, you're going to begin to look at things in a totally different manner. Despite the challenging circumstances you may go through. So let's look at the crucifixion of Jesus, for instance. And then we're going to go and begin to look at what did God say about his son. When Jesus was crucified, which I hope you believe that he was crucified. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, because sometimes we can come to church and say, yeah, and we have heard these things over and over and over and over. There was a point when Paul had to write something else about this scene. And I love it. The way he wrote it. I just want to find it. I'm sure I'm going to find it. I didn't plan to talk about it, but it just came right now. Okay, this is what Paul wrote. He was writing this to the church in Corinth. Okay. Verse chapter 15, verse 1. You can put it in NKJV. I'm going to read it from verse 1 all the way to verse 8. And I want you to listen, because he was writing this to a group of people who believed in Christ. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So it is possible to believe in vain. If it was not possible for people to believe in vain, then this word wouldn't be in the Bible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I'm going to where I want to go. Verse 3. For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received. So Paul is saying, what I gave to you, at the very beginning, the first thing I gave to you, it's also what I had received. What did you receive? He said, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. Allow me to add the word. According to the scriptures. Then I go back to the Bible. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. So by the time he's writing this, he's saying some of the people who saw him when he rose from the dead are still alive in our midst today, but some have died. What I know is that some of these who saw him when he rose from the dead, when he walked on planet earth, when they saw him eat, when they saw him sleep, when they saw him buried, when they saw him crucified, all of these ones are gone. So something has to happen in your life to say, even though all of them have fallen asleep, but I believe that what he's been saying is true. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then he says, after that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, by one born out of due time. And he's trying to refer to Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. So, my word to you is to say, I hope you believe that Jesus was crucified. And I hope you believe that Jesus was buried. And I hope you believe that Jesus rose again from the dead, so that you can be able to say, because he lives, I confess to God. You need to know him in a different way. Hallelujah. You need to be able to say, if he rose, then I know I'm going to rise. So here are the different views. View number one. I've got about five of them, I think. View number one. The scribes and the Pharisees, along with the chief priests, saw the execution of Jesus as of a man whom they had condemned as a blasphemer and as a deceiver. If you recall last week, John chapter 8, when they were arguing with him, which we are not going to go back to. So for them, Anna Amini was blaspheming and equating himself to God, even though truly he was God. So why you want to do that? If possible, can you take him to his church? How do you do that? You don't go. You say, let's have a take him to his church. No. Hey. It's because he's disturbing his mom, so I just want his mom to touch him. I know that I have a way out. So for others, it was, this guy was blaspheming Tatananai. Okay, that's how they view Jesus. The other group, the general population, saw the death of Jesus as the death, a wrongful death of a good man who had done many good things for them. To this day, there are others who still look at Jesus as just a good man. Others still look at him as a blasphemer. And then there were some of his disciples. These ones had walked with him, they believed in him, they walked with him, but truth came out one day. Because for them, they concluded, guys, we were mistaken. We were mistaken. We believe that this man is the Christ who was going to come, but the crucifixion has convinced us that he was only a prophet from Nazareth. And that one I want to read, because it's in Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 21, and I'll read and I'll carry on. And then, that very day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. This is Abu Ghosh, if you go to today's Israel. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing it, Jesus himself came up and began walking with them, but their eyes were miraculously prevented from recognizing him. Then Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing with one another as you walk along?" And they stood still, looking brokenhearted. Why the Bible is saying they stood still, looking brokenhearted? I want you to imagine two people are walking and somebody says, "What are you guys discussing to one another as you are walking on the Lord?" So when the Bible says they stood still, they were to be my one eye man. You understand? Which we're going to see. So they literally stopped, looked at him, brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Then Cleopas spoke, because the Bible says in verse 18, one of them named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only stranger visiting Jerusalem who is unaware of the things which have happened here in these recent days?" Then Jesus says, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in deed and word, in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel and set our nation free. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened." They are broken hearted. I put all my trust in God, but God has let me down. And I want you to know, these things are going to happen in your life. There will be moments when you're going to say, "From now, I want to trust God." And then if not someone will also, I'll be able to tell you, "I'm going to be here." In the end, I'm going to not go so bad. And then you get disappointed. Something deeper with more meaning must happen in your life that you continue to believe in Him. The reason I'm saying these things is because it's not all things that are going to work out good in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this guy, this is what we thought. And now we are so broken hearted. And it's the third day since these things happened. And they said he was a prophet. Number four, the amazing guy that I find amazing in all of them is the thief. Because the one who saw it clearly on that particular day, who truly Jesus was the dying thief on the cross. And these are the words he said. He says in verse 42 of Luke 23, Jesus, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, today, you'll be with me in paradise. If you were in church last week, I said, and I want you to understand, it looks like I'm covering basic stuff, but I want you to understand this. There is no place where when you have died, you go and wait for people to pray for you, to leave that place and enter into heaven. There isn't a place like that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't need to wait for other people's prayers to usher you into the place. Because then the thing that is going, if that was true, then the thing that is going to make you enter heaven is not you, it is the prayer of other people. So stop praying for the dead. Kaima?
Yes.
Because you know how many lessons I carry on. Not now. Carry on. I'm going to Masters. Friend Mona, Masters. I'll be here. I'm going to now. It's a waste of time. That is not Christianity. Jesus tells this dying thing. He says, when? Today. And last week I told you, when do you go to heaven when you die? Today. And it's funny. I'm sorry I'm going to say this. But there's something else that has been happening in my life quite a lot this recent week. I don't know about anybody. Okay. But what I'll say is just this. I'm not going to the greater detail of the others. So I was living in Ghana with my family. And when we arrived in Ghana, there was a chief who had died a year before we arrived in the northern part of Ghana. And he was not yet buried. So the funeral took place, I think, about a year later. I think they kept his body for about 2 years. And then the funeral happened. Their funerals don't happen like our funerals. Right? But this is what came to me very clearly. So I'll give myself as an example. I can't give you, because if I give you, you're going to say, Pastor was saying this about me today in church. So let me say about me. So let's assume I die, all right? That moment when I die, that moment when I have died, I have died, I have left our body. That very moment, whilst you guys are busy trying to call each other, I'm already, that moment, it's not like I'll be waiting to say, oh yeah, now we are going. No, if I arrive, okay, and I am before God, before even you guys start calling each other, okay, even before they take the body to the morgue, that moment, I'm already before God. When you are making your plans for my funeral, that's your business. I've already arrived. By the time my family relations are arguing, it has to be Area 18 or Wanyanga and everything else, those issues, I'm already there. I've already arrived. By the time they're saying, oh, Goodwill, or this other place, or no, it shouldn't be at KCH, we have to go and keep it at what? Well, we keep it at Google at Intuzi. We have to choose which casket. And then, oh, but the way he was, it has to be this one. Those issues don't matter before God. I want you to know. I'm sorry, I'm stepping on something. You are the one who started. You said checking out. So I'm just starting checking out. That's the problem. I just want you to understand. By the time you guys, let's drive. Now they have resolved the issues. You drive over and you are there. I don't know whether it's Pastor Emas or Pastor Ogo or Pastor Singer, whosoever is preaching on that day. And then later on, then you take me out, you put me there at Nasmeya and your Blancata and all those other issues, and then you go wherever we go, and then you put there, and then you say, chapter closed. It closed on the day I left. This one is just, actually, this closure, it's not for you. It's not for me, actually. It's for you. You are the ones who want to have a closure. Me, I have already closed. Me and God, we are already what? Done. And there's something that happened to me this week. Whenever I got an understanding more about, when we talk about man as a spirit, it's that the spirit within me, it came and occupied a body which you were male. As many also, a spirit came and occupied a body which you call female. But you are spirit and she is spirit. And we may be wasting time here talking about, but I am male and you are female. It's a waste of time. Because first and foremost, you are spirit. And the Bible says in Job, there is a spirit in man. And the expression of the Almighty give that spirit understanding. You are spirit. You are spirit. That's why the moment you leave, you arrive. Hallelujah. The moment you leave, you what? You arrive. What you are dealing with by the time I'm gone, it's not my spirit. You are dealing with my body. You are having a closure with the body. Is it bad? No, it's not bad. You need to have that closure. But that's not the substance. The substance is, how do you arrive before your maker? That's the substance. Hallelujah. Because if you check a lot of the stuff that we waste our time with, really have to do with the body. The pride of life, the body. Lust of the eyes, the body. Lust of the flesh, the body. And this body can make you fail to appear before the Lord in terms of entering heaven. Appearing, you appear. Hallelujah. 2,000 years later today, people are still arguing about what I'm talking about. There are so many theories that you're going to find there. But what I come to discover is this. Do you know Jesus did not have to die on the cross? He didn't have to die on the cross. There was a day when he asked the Father in Matthew 26, 39, he says, Father, if it is possible, and Amplified puts it in this way, if it is possible, that is, if it is consistent with your will, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. You should pray in your life that God's will should be done in your life. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It should be your prayer to say, Lord, I'm not denying. Because at this point in life, Jesus had a will. As a man, the will was to say, let me not die. But then he said, this is what I wish right now. This is what I desire right now. But I just want to cross-check. Is it in line with your will? And God says, no, it's not in line with my will. You dying, you have to die. And when you begin to read the Bible, it says literally angels had to come and strengthen you. Hallelujah. And I started asking myself, there must have been something very great that compelled him to suffer on the cross and let the will of the Father be done. There must have been something very great. Amen? 1 John 3:16 gives us an answer.
He says, by this we know and have come to understand the depth and essence of his precious love, that he willingly laid down his life for us because he loved us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the believers. Hallelujah. 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 He willingly laid down his life for you. And the reason why he willingly laid his life down for you is because he loved you. And the Bible says we ought to lay down our lives for the believers. God spoke. He spoke from the beginning of time and told us what his son would be. And I want to look at two cases about what he said, and then next week we'll continue with case number three. Because I want us to look at the record that God gave about Jesus and why we should believe in Jesus. So God gave the first record about Jesus 4,000 years before Jesus was born of Mary. 4,000 years before, he gave the record. And it's interesting, the day he gave the record, it wasn't the day when men were walking in righteousness. It was on the very same day sin entered the world. Through Adam's disobedience, God gave a promise of a one called the seed of the woman. The day sin entered. And how did sin enter? Disobedience. What is sin? Disobedience. That's what it is. Sin is falling below the mark. And what makes you fall below the mark is disobedience. When you decide, okay, this is what you're saying, but I'm not going to do it. That's disobedience. If we talk about your children, what do you want them to do with you? You want to put that in there. Want. And in there I wonder, why is it I want my children to not in there, but then they just look for a hundred more? It doesn't work like that. So if I want my children to listen to me and obey me, I'd rather obey who? God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In verse 14 of Genesis chapter 3, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than any animal of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, open hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed, meaning your offspring, and her seed, with a capital S. And then the Bible changes and it says, he shall fatally bruise your head, and you shall only bruise his heel. And we're going to come back to this next week. Alright? So that's the first time God speaks about someone else called the seed of the woman. This called the seed of the woman, I would like to submit to you, because then I'm going to make submissions which are going to make you understand that this seed of the woman is actually the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the submission I'm going to make. Only if you study the law, you're going to understand what submission is. You're busy thinking about submit to me. No, I'm not talking about submit to me. A lawyer will tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to present. I'm making submissions. And after I've made submissions, I want you to make a judgment. Come up with a verdict. So submission number one is the one I'm given. Why am I arguing that this is Jesus? The reason why God did this promise, this record, that God gave concerning Jesus, his son, was not given out of pity for Adam and Eve. Actually, he gave it out of anger and wrath against the devil, and it was the promise to the serpent, to the devil, that the seed of the woman is going to bruise your head one day. And the reason I'm saying so is this. Because I started putting myself in Eve's shoes. Very likely, possibly, Eve heard these words. And if Eve thought that the seed of the woman was going to be one of her sons, and one of her sons was going to be the promised seed, then Eve was very, 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 very uncertainly disappointed. Because her very first born son, her very first seed, became a mother and killed the younger brother. So for sure it was not going to be Cain. Hallelujah. And as you begin to look at the word, you begin to see that the influence of the devil, the way it happened on this thing, this is the way I say it. And possibly it's going to help you. Sorry. It's going to help you to pray better. Do you know Liz? They say they have got a title deed. You know title deed? And then our lease in Malawi is for how many years? Is it 99? They used to give it for 99. 99. They still give it for 99?
Yes.
I think somehow they know they're going to be good. So, the way I can make you understand is this. Adam had a title deed. And that title deed was given to him in Genesis chapter 1. When you read chapter 1, 26, 27, he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And then it was about let them have what? Dominion on the earth. Out of the disobedience, because you find it again in Romans chapter 5, out of the disobedience, it was more or less like this. The dominion was handed over to you're not the devil. Was handed over to the serpent. So Adam now no longer had what? Dominion. He who has dominion has influence.
Yes.
You understand? In the way it works in our side of the Lord is I go on a campaign trail, I win an election, I assume the office of the president. At that point in time, I become His Excellency, the Commander-in-Chief, and I have dominion. And they put it on the radio, today the head of state is going to address the nation. And what happens? Everybody tunes into the radio. I know others don't. Tune into the TV. And then they want to hear what the man with dominion is going to say. On this day, the dominion, the lease, was handed over to who? To the devil. And God says, and you're going to see it today, because then God says, the seed of the woman is going to come, and it's going to bruise your head. And when it bruises your head, the dominion which you have taken from man today is going to be taken back. Hallelujah. It's going to be taken back. Man is going to be, is not going to be on the losing end forever. What am I trying to say? Until the day when the devil is going to be bound and thrown into hurts, he still has dominion. That's why you go in the book of Philippians, it says, the God of this world. This world, whether you want or not, is under the influence of the enemy. And it has been so from the day Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. So if you want to come to Malawi and say you want to come and arrest the guy with dominion, are you going to arrest him? Huh? So why are you busy biting him? The Bible says they resist. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible says what?
Resist.
Resist. That's what you need to do. You need to resist. And how do you resist? You declare the blood of the Lamb. Because when you go in 1 John chapter 3, 16, where we read, you begin to understand these things more. Anyway, let me carry on. So, the influence of the devil continued on earth for the next 1,600 years until one day God repented. Now, this repentance is not that God got born again, but God was sorry that he had made man. You find it in Genesis chapter 6, 5 to 8. The Lord saw that the wickedness, the depravity of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination or intent or the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And when I read that, I said, this which we are reading, when God repented and was sorry that he had made man, is exactly the picture in today's day and age. Verse 6, the Lord regretted that he had made mankind on the earth, and he was deeply grieved in his heart. Have you ever heard the words in Sheol that says, Mimba Nijibar? Ever heard those words? Same woman gets pregnant, gives birth to children, other children turn out alright, and other children. I love when people say, in every family there's a black sheep. but you can understand it in this context. That black sheep in every family makes the heart of the mother grieve. And I've actually heard words whereby other mothers have said, Ndikana ti orudzani zonda George, mkanango repair me. That's a regret. I would have just killed you in the womb if I knew you were going to be like this. And that's what God is doing here. He's regretting, I made man, and he's grieved in his heart. Verse 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy mankind, whom I've created from the surface of the earth, not only man, but the animals and the crawling things on the beds of the air, because it deeply grieves me to see mankind sin. And I regret that I have made them. And I love verse 8. In the middle of God's regret, the Bible says, but Noah found favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters, in the midst of depravity, in the midst of sin, in the midst of wickedness, in the midst of man, now we have to sin proper. You can live a righteous life. It's a choice. It's a choice. Say amen.
Amen.
Say it louder. Say amen.
Amen.
The way man has become so sinful, the way man has decided to be so depraved, the way man has decided that he's going to do whatever he's going to do, and he doesn't care about God, you can still live a righteous life. It's your choice. And what happened next? After God's regret, truly the great flood came. And I was amazed because people have said about Noah's ark in so many other places. Others try to talk about Armenia and everything else. But the way you can only understand it, you can understand it in this way. You read about the Titanic, right? You knew they found the wreckage of the Titanic, right? And you know that some people were trying to go and see it where it laid on the seabed, right? And that they died. Yeah. Now, if you believe that that is true, then the ark was also true. The only way is, let's agree, there was no Titanic. Hallelujah. Let's agree there was no what? No Titanic. If you tell me there was no Titanic, then there was no Noah's Ark. But if there was Titanic, and people have found that it is somewhere on the seabed, and some people jumped into Kachu Renarange, and they went to go and try to see, and they died on the way to go and see. Then there was Noah's ark. Why sometimes we refuse these things is because our mind wants to tell us that God will not destroy again. No, God will destroy again. Whether we like it or not, God is going to destroy. And truly the Bible says that God, the flood came, destroyed every living person on earth, with the exception of the righteous Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Hey, it matters where you get married, guys. It matters who you marry, and it matters where you get married. Because by association, you can be gone. I'm just telling you. By what? Association. So you shouldn't be so desperate to get married to anything that moves. Because you may be putting yourself in something else that you will regret for the rest of your life. But unfortunately, after you've regretted here, you regret again. Now, can floods destroy? Answer me.
Yes.
Have you ever seen floods destroy?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, if you have seen floods destroy, then floods can what? Destroy. Can floods kill? Yes, they can kill. Have you ever seen these video clips, I think some years ago, whereby people were putting video clips of water, and people were claiming it was Sierra River, but later on people were saying, what social media can create anything. But the only thing that we saw is that truly, the floods were washing cows. Alright? We saw that the floods were washing cows. Now, if we can see with our eyes today, the floods washing cows, I think it was in Blanchard, when we saw whatever happened on that mountain, we saw houses being what? Washed. Human beings were what? Washed. And cows were what? Washed. That should give you a picture that that happened in the days of Noah. Hallelujah. And hopefully, if people can understand that, they will stop sinning. But they will not. They will not. That one I will tell you the truth. They will not. After the flood came and everybody is destroyed, do you know what happened? Man multiplied one more time on the face of the earth. But there is something very interesting. Even though man was destroyed, do you know what happened? The devil continued to control man. Because he said, was not yet bruised. And how did the devil continue to control man? Through sin. And where is the sin? In the heart. And where is the sin? It's actually part and parcel of our nature. Nobody needs to convince you that you are a sinner. You were born a sinner. Brothers and sisters, we were born sinners. Very few wicked families is where I have seen people trying to teach people how their children how to sin. But the truth of the matter is all of us just know and begin to sin. Me, I was a sinner. To this day, there are some things where I am tempted to disobey God. But I have to make a decision and a choice. I'm not going to disobey God. If I just decide to disobey God at that point in time, do you know what I've done? I've sinned. That's why the Bible says, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You and I fail many times. And possibly by now we have known we cannot serve ourselves. If God was going to deal with us and treat with us, deal with us according to our sin deserves, we wouldn't be here today. We are here purely by the grace of God.
Amen.
So then, even though Noah has been served, and his wife, and his three sons, and their three wives, mankind continued to what? To multiply. And I can show you how mankind multiplies. Mwiko 6. Ana 6 wa lina nana. So if you want to understand that man multiplied. My parents gave birth to 8 kids. I have 3. And my other brother has 3. There's another one who has 2. And there's another sister who has 1. And then there's a sister who has 2. And then we can just continue. And there's another one who has 1. Then there's another one who has 2. Do you know we are multiplying? Mm-hmm. And as we multiply, this is what's going to happen. Unfortunately, this is what's going to happen. As we multiply, me, I know my sister. You understand? And her sisters, my sister's kids, know that I am the uncle. And her kids know that my children are their cousins. But as we continue to multiply, even though our father and mother was the same, I can guarantee you one thing. I will guarantee you, Master Saul, check when we arrive in heaven. I'll guarantee you one thing. There will come a time, even though our father and mother was the same, there will be generations ahead of us that will not know each other. There will be some team hangover. That's why you and I, we are all related. We are all related. No wonder I can say, I can call you my brother, your wife, my sister. And you're not brother-in-law, and the other is not sister-in-law. Because we are related. Many, we are related. We are coming from the same source. However, we are related, man. Even though you can say, I yo, the most cheaper, and I come here, I cannot pay, you know, we are related. Hallelujah. If you want, let's just begin to dig. If we dig and dig and dig and dig, we are going to find that somewhere we meet. Hallelujah. But sin continued to move. Let's begin to finish for today. Submission number 2. After another 1,700 years, man has continued to what? To sin. Then a prophet of God by the name called Isaiah brought an amazing prophecy. And the prophecy was, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. But I need to tell you this story before we read the prophecy. This prophecy came during the time of Ahaz as the king of Judah. Ahaz became king at the age of 16, obviously at the age of 17. At the age of 20. He became king at the age of 20. He ruled for 16, obviously 17. And the years he ruled, the period that he was king was between 732-731 BC to around 715 BC. That's the period. When you begin to look into history. Now, the Bible says Ahaz, his father was Jotham. Jotham was a son of Uzziah. Jotham walked with the Lord. Ahaz did not walk with the Lord. That's why I am saying, Tisamana isane, kunena kuti. Teacher child was his young, and I was a direct and jirai. From the 11 jirai, and because of what I saw in God. I don't know what I can give you the testimony. Haven't you met people in your life? At least when we were in chapel, we met young people, young men, who they were saying, no, no, no,
bamumakendakusa
koma manayo
ichigapo chocha
pakolechi. Did they tell them about Christ? Yes. And one of them, thank God today, is actually an amazing preacher of the gospel. So, that's why I say you need to come to the point whereby you know God for yourself. Hallelujah. You can teach them the word. But there is a point, brothers and sisters, there is a point. That child is going to have their own opinion, and they will have their own opinion about God, they will have their opinion about everything else, and you actually come to the point of saying, I know I'm trying to discover God. I told you from when you were in your mother's womb, and you were born. Now when you're telling you what to discover, discover what? He's real. So, but leave me alone, I need to discover him myself. So Ahaz was wicked. And part of the wickedness of Ahaz was that he was actually even burning his own children in fire. It's like when sinners abounded more, God moves. Because in Isaiah 7, verse 1 to 14, the Bible says, oh boy. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Aram, meaning Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remariah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but they could not conquer it. When the house of David, Judah, was told, Aram is allied with Ephraim, Israel, the hearts of Ahaz and his people trembled as the trees of the forest tremble in the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz, king of Judah, you and your son, Sheshub, at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him. And this is the word that Isaiah said to Ahaz, and this is the word I'm saying to you. Take care and be calm. Do not fear and be weak-hearted because of these two stumps of smothering logs. On account of the fierce anger of King Rezin and Aram, and of the son of Remariah Pekah, usurper of the throne of Israel, because Aram, along with Ephraim, Israel, and the son of Remariah, have planned evil against you, Judah, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrorize it. So now you can see terrorism did not start today. And let us preach his war and tear it apart, each of us taking a portion, and set up the son of Tabeel over it as its puppet king. For this is what the Lord God says, it shall not stand, nor shall it happen. Hallelujah. And when the Lord says so, so it is. For the head capital of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is King Rezin. Now, within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken to pieces and will no longer be a people. And the head capital of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Amariah's son, King Pekah. If you will not believe and trust in God and his message, be assured you will not be established. That's the word that is said to us. And I would like to say to you today as well, children of God, if you will not believe and trust in God and believe his message and trust his message, you will try whatever you will try. You'll never be established on the land of death. Because the only thing that will make you established on this earth is the word of God, and the word of God only. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Then the Lord spoke again to King Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God, one that will convince you that God has spoken and will keep his word. And make your request as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David, is it too small a thing for you to try the patience of men? But will you try the patience of my God as well? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Listen carefully. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. And the people thought it was going to happen soon. It didn't. But Isaiah says the young woman who had never been with a man will conceive, give birth to a son, and the name is going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. That's the seed of the woman. God is saying this seed of the woman is going to be called the Son of God, God with us. When you go in Hebrews chapter 4:14, you actually begin to hear that Jesus, the Son of God. And what I will do today is I'm going to give you an assignment because I want you to go and read it. You're going to read it, it's not going to make sense. And then I will try to explain next week Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen. But what and that's going to be submission number 3. Because God watches over his word to perform it. The promise starts with a vague mention of a seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent. Isaiah's prophecy gives more insight about the seed of the woman, because now he says, this seed of the woman is going to be called God with us. After this prophecy, about 200 years pass. How many years? How many years? 200 years. They pass. But remember, the prophecy was given 4,000 years before. 1,600 years pass, things happen. Another 1,700 years pass. And I think it begins to give me an understanding why we say 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. That's when I begin to say, you know what? We talk about 2,000 years ago, it looks like Kaligali, but the truth of man is there's been 1,600 and 1,700 before. So it doesn't mean that the Lord is delaying his return. He's going to come. But this is a prophecy. After 200 years, God sent an angel called Gabriel. And it was the second time Gabriel was appearing to Daniel. The second time he came, and this is what you're going to read, he clearly told him, I want you to now fully understand. And he told him everything else. But then he said, he tells him the exact year, and I want you to understand this, the exact year the Messiah would appear in ministry. And when he appears in ministry, Gabriel tells Daniel, that when he appears in ministry, the Messiah is going to do 6 things. Number 1, he is going to finish transgression. What is transgression? Transgression is sin. So he says the Messiah will come and he's going to finish sin. He's going to finish transgression, this rebellion and everything. And then number 2, he says, he's going to put an end to sin. He's going to make the end of sins. Number 3, he's going to atone for wickedness. That means he's going to reconcile man back to God for his iniquity. He will pay the price for man's iniquity. Number 4, he's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. Number 5, he's going to seal up vision and prophecy. And number 6, he is going to anoint the most holy. These things, you find them in Daniel chapter 9, when you read Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 to 27. And that's where I will begin next week. And then we're going to do mathematics together. I'm going to bring in history, and then I'm going to bring in the Bible, and we're going to do mathematics together and see if what Gabriel told Daniel, saying it will happen on this day you appear in ministry, and on that day he's going to finish transgression, and it's almost like he says, when he's finishing transgression and putting an end to sin, the words that will come out of his mouth, he's going to say, it is finished. And forgotten before it happens. So go read Daniel chapter 9. Try to read it in many versions of the Bible if you want. Okay? Read it in the Message, read it in the New Living Translation, read it in NIV. Don't try it in KJV, you will not understand. Because you hear the Bahu, go back. Read it in UKJV, read it in all that. Do your own search, and then we'll talk next week. And you're going to see that exactly AD 33, when Christ appeared in ministry and properly bruised the head of the serpent and declared it is finished. On that day, man was reconciled to God. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have eternal life here. And I don't need to go back into that preaching because Pastor Oka did proper justice to that. It's not typical of normal. Could you? Hallelujah. And I want you to go read that because that's going to be my submission number 3. When I finish my submissions, I'm going to say, to ask you and say, tell me if Jesus is not the Son of God.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.